Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachung. Our text for reflection is 1 Corinthians 7:32 to 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 to 40. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. Let me think with you today on the theme Holy Distractions. When love, loss, and longing meet the call to holiness, holy distractions. A young woman once told me, "Pastor, I have been praying for the one, but maybe God gave him bad directions." We laughed, but beneath the humor was an ache many people share, the anxiety of not being where we thought we would be by now. Paul in 1 Corinthians 7:32 to 40 enters that very tension. He speaks to the confused, the single, the widowed, the engaged, to everyone trying to make sense of love, longing, and faith in a fleeting world. The Corinthians had written to Paul, perhaps hoping for a divine algorithm. Who should marry? Who should stay single? Who is more spiritual? But Paul refuses to reduce holiness to a marital status. His response is both surprising and liberating. I want you to be free from anxieties, to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Whether married or not, the question is not what is my status, but where is my heart? Paul recognizes that marriage brings worldly cares, not sinful ones, but natural ones. The married must attend to each other's needs, while the unmarried are freer to focus on the Lord. Yet he does not exalt one above the other. He only names their different shapes of holiness. Both are parts of devotion. The issue then, as now, is not the presence of love, but the priority of God within it. But it is important to note that God's kingdom has room for both married and unmarried servants of God. Some ministries flourish best through the freedom and flexibility of singleness, where one can travel light, focus deeply, and serve with fewer worldly distractions. Others thrive in the ministry of marriage, where partnership, empathy, and shared service mirror Christ's love for the church. Both callings have their graces and their burdens. What matters is finding the right balance and knowing with honesty and humility what we can cope with as individuals, especially in learning to control our passions and direct them toward godly purpose. In today's world, Paul's teaching lands differently across cultures. In many African societies, marriage remains a social achievement. Unmarried adults, especially women, carry invisible badges of failure. In Western cultures, where autonomy is prized, singleness may be seen as freedom, yet those who remarry after widowhood sometimes face quiet judgment for moving on too fast. In Asia, devotion to family and ancestral expectations can make both singleness and remarriage acts of moral negotiation. Across continents, we build hierarchies of holiness around things Paul called temporary. The world changes, but our anxieties remain. And yet, Paul's theology points beyond cultural judgment to spiritual freedom. He invites us to see life through the lens of eternity. The present form of this world is passing away. Whether single or married, widowed or remarried, the ultimate vocation is holiness, not social approval. Marriage is a sacred gift, but not the summit of purpose. Singleness is not a curse. It can be a calling. Widowhood is not an ending, and remarriage is not betrayal. It is grace rediscovered in new form. Two contrasting perceptions still linger. Some see marriage as proof of success. Others see perpetual singleness as spiritual superiority. Both miss Paul's point that devotion, not status, defines the believer. The Christian's greatest achievement is not finding the one, but finding peace in the one who holds every heart and every season. In a world obsessed with romance, Paul's realism feels almost subversive. He tells us that marriage is not unmixed honey, a sweet image from Calvin reminding us that love brings joy and labor. The goal is not to escape care, but to transform it into holy service. Paul Tillich once wrote, "Faith is the courage to accept acceptance." That is the essence of this passage, to rest in being accepted by God, regardless of status, and to live each day with undivided devotion. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, how do social or cultural expectations shape the way you think about marriage, singleness, or remarriage? Number two, what might it mean for you to find balance in your own calling, serving God with integrity and self-control in whatever state you are in? And now our practical exercise for the day. Take 10 minutes today to thank God for your present state of life. Single, married, widowed, or remarried. Write one way you can use this season to serve God or others more wholeheartedly. Lord of every season, teach us to rest in your love rather than in our labels. Help us to embrace the ministry you have given us, married or single, with grace and self-control. Free us from comparison, judgment, and distraction. Bless those who wait, those who weep, and those who love again. Let our hearts, whether bound or unbound, be wholly devoted to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.